June 24th, 2025. Welcome to This Week in Waukesha, the podcast series. I am your host, as always, Don Brown, or Downtown Donnie Brown, coming to you from the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown in the Work Hub Studios here in downtown Waukesha. Thank you again to Mary Jane Sanchez for letting me use her space, this shared office environment that is a wonderful place for creatives and small business entrepreneurs to do their best thinking and their best work. And for me, it's a space without my dog, Popsicle, who's been known to disrupt podcasts and previous radio shows when I was recording from home. I am joined, as always, by my extraordinary producer, the mighty Max Martinson, who's been able to accommodate me for not just one, but there will be four podcasts, which we will be utilizing to cover the next 2 weeks, given my travel schedule. I'll be going to Colorado on Friday. We're driving as far as Omaha, going to spend the night there, and then we'll land in the Denver area sometime Saturday around dinner time. We have the great fortune of staying at my sister's house, who lives out there. It'll be great to reunite with her. And just, I haven't been to Denver or in that area in Colorado since my nephew was a wee lad in 1996, shortly after he was born. I got to do some babysitting while my sister and brother-in-law traveled, along with my mother and some other help that they had. But it's going to be great to travel again. I do love travel, even by car. It's nice to have that control. Although I understand it's a 15, 16 hour drive, but happy to do it. And it's really been an interesting, shall we say, week for me, or a couple weeks going back, a lot of activity. And I think a good place to start would be, it was not last Monday. Well, last Monday was great, but the Tuesday before that, I was invited by Alderman Mike Krizine, my successor in the first district and City of Waukesha's Common Council, to attend a special event, a presentation for the Spring City Special Olympics, which I'm embarrassed to say didn't know existed. Of course, I've heard of Special Olympics, and I know that there is a state organization here in Wisconsin that's very well run. I participated in some polar plunges 2 years in a row to help raise money for this wonderful cause, but was not aware that Waukesha had its own, I guess, for lack of a better term, unique chapter or organization that's doing some wonderful things with these young men and women that have athletic goals and pursuits. And one of the honorary guests to mark the occasion was my good friend, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. And I was not only excited to see her, but was also kind of tickled pink, as I had explained to one of the security duty people, I think it was a state trooper, and then eventually to her staff that, you know, I wanted to say hello, but also to let her know I was going to be seeing her the following Monday, because she was coming to speak with the iron workers that I do some work with, learning more about their ESL programs, as well as some of the other programs they have involving mental health and workforce development. And so it's always great to catch up with our Lieutenant Governor, especially since she's one of our own. She's a Waukesha South mom, and really just been very proactive in a lot of her efforts. One of her staff reached out to me about scheduling a podcast, because I've been dying to have her on the podcast for quite some time, and I got the call last night, so we were hoping to get her on tonight, but she's actually traveling in northern Wisconsin, learning more about what's going on up there lately, and really just being accessible and being a resource to our fellow Wisconsin residents, which we love. As many of you regular listeners know, I also had the honor of receiving Sarah when she came to the food pantry serving Waukesha County. The executive director there, Lindsay Johnson, was just over the moon that it wasn't something that the food pantry solicited. They got a call from the lieutenant governor's office that Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez wanted to come visit and see what was going on there. And when we asked her what brings you to the food pantry, she said, I want to know what's available for families in need during the holiday so that they can, you know, have a nice holiday meal, you know, take a break from the struggles in their life. And so it was great to be there to help, you know, kind of answer some of her questions to inform her about the way that the food pantry operates. And so really it was a say, you know, she's learning more than, you know, the stereotypical politician that's selling something. She was really in listener mode and, but also had a lot to contribute and very well spoken and just very excited for her future. Cause I think that could mean an even brighter future for our state. I think she'd make a wonderful governor and could also continue to represent us at the national level too. So Max and I were able to, we'll be recording her on July 7th, a Monday evening. So we are working our schedule around because as Max's career continues to grow, he's in big demand. We are figuring out some regular dates for recording our podcast. So it may not be Saturdays anymore after Jim Santel's done. At one time, Wednesday nights was working well, but that may not work because of I think it's called Live at Lakefront series that Max will now be covering, doing digital broadcasting for. And so, but we move on and it's exciting as we do that we're connecting with new people as well as reconnecting with some familiar faces that have made a big impact on Waukesha life. And, you know, we try to act locally, think globally. And so in this first podcast, I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about what's happening in the Middle East. I think we're all very concerned, very affected by it. We have the blessing, I guess, the good fortune of being far away from the war-torn Middle East and much of the troubles around the country here in Waukesha. It's important for us to be informed. And when I found out on, I believe it was Saturday, that the United States had attacked Iran's, nuclear missile arsenals? I apologize, I don't have the right terminology. And then I found out there was a retaliation from Iran to one of our bases in Qatar, but I heard it was a non-threatening, I don't know, they made it sound like it was kind of an offsite, like shanty or outhouse or something that, you know, it was just to make a statement, but there was no Americans, no people were killed, no civilians were killed. No major damage to the arsenal. I think it was just kind of sending a message. So, again, we live in frightening times. And I think the important thing here at the local level is to be kind. As many of you know, I work in the nonprofit world and have a wonderful relationship with many foundations from all different backgrounds. And there's a few from the Jewish community that are very generous, as all foundations tend to be, especially in Milwaukee. I don't know if many of you know this, but Milwaukee has a reputation for its philanthropy, its generous philanthropy, that rivals our nation's biggest cities, New York, Chicago, LA, in terms of the amount of charitable giving that comes from Milwaukee area foundations. So that's a big thumbs up for this metro area. And there are some of these are in Waukesha. This foundation that supported one of my charitable causes had told me, you know, for the second year in a row, there may be some issues with levels of support or if they can support us at all because they have some affiliates that they support in Israel that they're very concerned about. But there's also some local Jewish charities in the Milwaukee area that may need more support because they're experiencing unprecedented levels of anti-Semitism. And it's just so troubling to me on many fronts. One is I think I have a pretty good knowledge of World War II history and the atrocities of the Holocaust. Just unconscionable that that type of hatred and prejudice towards one group of people, scapegoating. It's so hard to understand. And again, in Waukesha, we don't have a very large Jewish community, and so we don't experience it. Although I do have Jewish friends that live here that said they've seen more anti-Semitism at a local level. I don't know if they mean in Waukesha or just around the Milwaukee area than they have in like more than 7 years. And so it's very tangible for people, and it's something that we should take notice of, speak out against, set a good example, really make an effort to be kind to everybody you see or come across, wave to someone you see in the street, say hello. I mean, the kindest words or gestures can really make somebody's day. And I think that's really our best arsenal for acting locally, thinking globally. Treat everybody with kindness and respect. And if you can't bring yourself to treat someone with kindness because you're not sure how they look or they seem threatening to you or whatever, at least be polite and be civil and make them feel that they belong here just like you do. I really believe in that it does start locally. Let's set good examples for our children. I know a lot of times that some of that starts, children, hatred is it's not an acquired trait. I mean, it is an acquired trait. It's not something you're born with, that you learn from others, oftentimes from adults, from our own parents. I remember as a young kid growing up in Western New York in the 70s, in a second generation Irish American family, there was a kid in the neighborhood, and one of my family members thought it'd be funny to pick on him. Maybe just because he was jealous. The kid was a year older, good looking kid, and this family member started spreading rumors that this kid was Jewish. And so, okay, well, here's a good reason to hate the guy. And it snowballed into something, again, not weren't a lot of kids in the neighborhood, especially in the summer, because there were those families that go to their cottages. Yeah, that made its way to my mother, and she called BS on it. She put the hammer down. She scolded this family member. She really scolded all of us for our complacency or for letting it to happen. And she'd mentioned that we have a cousin, it was my father's first cousin, that lives, my cousin Bridget, that lives in County Cavan, which is in Northern Ireland. It's in the Ulster province. It's not part of the six counties that make up the United Kingdom's Northern Ireland. It's still separate from Ireland and again, part of the UK, but close enough to a lot of the action. There was a lot of violence going on there in Northern Ireland between Catholics and Protestants during the 70s. And even people that lived in Dublin were affected by it. I remember when I was working there, a taxi driver was telling me when he was a little boy, his father, they drove by a statue. There's a statue of Queen Victoria that honors her visit to Ireland, which, interestingly enough, took place in the 1840s during the famine. And because tensions were so big, and even though we were there in the Republic, my friend's father told him, I guarantee you within a week that statue is going to be blown to pieces. And the very next day it had been blown up, seemingly by the IRA. But the point my mother was making is that this hatred leads to violence, and innocent people we love, it affects them, even if they're not, again, if they're not involved, if they're not politically active or, in this case, militarily active. It's, violence hits homes. We do have a fair amount of violence in our own community. There is drugs. There's I guess, some gang activity. Of course, there is in Milwaukee and Chicago. And so it's just, again, it's just important to be informed, to be kind, to be gentle to each other. I've gone through some training on when you're engaged, when someone wants to engage with you politically, and they have some very strong feelings, strong sentiments, usually towards the current regime, if you will, without willing to accept that we're on this collision course towards the new Third Reich or towards a very totalitarian regime. And I think the thing to do for now is to really just say, I'm not comfortable talking about this right now, because usually it happens in a restaurant or a coffee shop or somewhere in a public or a workplace setting. And it's just like, this not the time or place. I'm here to have a good time, or I'm here to work. Maybe we exchange emails. Let's have, it's important. I would love you to hear my views and learn more about what affects yours, but let's find a venue that's just more conducive to that, and not something that's going to upset people around us. Remember the term captive audience, we have certain First Amendment rights, but that becomes limited when you're yelling fire in a crowded movie house and there's no fire. And we live in a world of crowded movie houses. Our restaurants, our kids' sporting events, our coffee houses, our places of worship. And it's important that we find the right venues for these types of discussions. The library puts on a lot of great programs and has venues. You can also reserve space at the library for free if you would like to have a dialogue about what's going on in the world today or wanting to learn more. I certainly don't have enough information about the war going on currently between Israel and Iran. I highly doubt the president's assertions that there's a ceasefire going on. And but most importantly is, like, you know, make Waukesha ground zero for a place for peace and understanding and a willingness to work together and learn from each other. I had Mayor Sean Riley on my last podcast, and I was asking him about the seminal moments in his three terms. And, you know, obviously the biggest one is the transformation of Lake Michigan water, but he also he'd reflected on how proud he was of how the city came together in the aftermath of the Christmas parade attacks in 2021 and how we really showed the world what Waukesha Strong means, how we looked out for each other, how we continue to look out for each other, as there are still many of us that have undiagnosed trauma as a result of those events that were witness to it all. In addition to those survivors that are probably still dealing with physical therapy or other conditions as a result of the injuries that they sustained. And then, of course, to the families of the six sons and daughters that were killed in the parade. That's a wound that'll never go away. And so, but the learning moment from a lot of that was how we were stronger together instead of pointing fingers and instead of creating barriers and violence, that we came together and we showed the world what Waukesha Strong means. And now we have these other opportunities in this brave new world, where it's incumbent upon us to do the same, to be, as one of my favorite statesmen said once, to, something about, give me a moment here. Let us commit ourselves to what the Greeks wrote so many years ago, to tame the savageness of man and make gentle the life of this world. And in doing that, again, think about your children, think about your grandchildren, if you have them, think about your elders, think about those vulnerable neighbors and citizens. You know, we're all each other's brothers, we're all each other's sisters, we're all each other's keepers. And we have a lot to look forward to with this summer. I know it's a hot, muggy one these past couple of days, but I think it's going to be a beautiful summer. We have 4th of July coming up, and my next podcast will be talking about what people are doing for Independence Day here in Waukesha, and maybe if any, for those that are going away, what they're doing and what our summer plans really look like. But hey, I'm really grateful to everybody for hearing me out in this first one and talking about some sensitive topics. And I also want to talk about tonight about a special dinner I had at Mia's. They have another one coming up in July, and highly recommend it. My wife and I attended one with a Bob Ross theme. So that was, it was very artistic and really quite enjoyable. So, but again, thank you for hearing me out. Please do remember, especially in this heat and as we approach the holiday season and fireworks and good fun, that safety is everybody's responsibility. Good mental health is everybody's right. Thank you so much. Go Ramil Mahagav Goler. And I want to thank Civic Media, too, for making this podcast possible. And my amazing producer, Max, who's on the very beginning of what's going to be an amazing career. And really excited to be part of that ride and hope to continue the journey together. And again, thank all of you. And stick around for the second podcast. See ya.